Hello, everyone.
Hey. Hello. How y'all doing out there?
I am Stephanie Page, and this is
Jonathan Lee Page.
Hey, hey.
Countries They Come.
Countries They Come. And this is the Pages Speak, and we are so excited. Are we excited?
Woo!
Yeah. We are excited to have Jason and Talitha Harris.
Yes, yes.
Woo! Yes. Hello, everybody. To have them tonight. Hey, y'all.
Hey. How y'all doing
Thank
today?
Thank you for having us.
All right.
It is an absolute privilege. And tonight we're going to be talking about autism and the family. And so often, you know, families have children with different abilities. And a lot of times, you know, within the church and society, period, people get awkward. They just don't know how to act. People.
Absolutely.
And we have to know how to just love and flow one with another. But, you know, it don't always work that way.
Exactly.
So tonight, we want to talk to Jason and Talitha, and we just want to hear from them, their experiences, just the things that they're doing. And so we're going to throw it over to you guys. Tell us your story.
Yes.
That's a
big story.
Right? That's okay. We got some time.
Well, first of all, we thank you all for having us here. The whole concept of autism and special needs community is kind of landed in our lap unexpectedly, like most families, with our second son, Noah. He was born with some complications and was a normal pregnancy as far as we knew for the most part, but we did have some complications during the delivery process. But as time went on, we started to realize as he began to, you know, hit certain milestones, that those milestones were delayed or those milestones weren't hit at the timeline that they say they're supposed to be hit, like walking or talking was delayed. Certain fine motor skills were delayed. So after, you know, noticing those things at around 18 months, I started to have them looked at, have them checked out by the doctors. At first I was brushed off like, oh, mom, he's fine. You know, kids develop at different stages, you know, don't worry about it. But, you know, sometimes you just know deep down inside, you know, something. And I thank God for my relationship with God, because I just knew it was something going on that wasn't quite right. So I had to actually advocate and push with the doctors to even get an evaluation.
So how old was Noah when you all got the initial evaluation?
He was, like I said, about 15, 18 months. So,
You know, and I was the parent that said, ain't nothing wrong with that boy, you know, just you know, he's just taking his time, you know, let him be. But I thank God that Talitha was persistent. She was persistent with the doctor. She was persistent with, you know, tell me something. And a lot of times, you know, we have so many families, especially in our community, that walk away with just the doctor's word. You know, this is what it is. This is what they said it is. And then that's it. But, you know, and that's why we're here tonight, just to talk about just being an advocate for those families, because you have so many families that's out there right now that don't know what to do.
Yes.
They don't know who to go to. You know, we have children that's in classrooms that they can't keep up with the coursework. You know, and nobody understands them. So our whole story is, you know, helping people through intervention, you know, for their children, making sure that no child is left behind, which is the most important thing. No child is left behind. They said, you know, that was the thing in schools. And basically what's happening is, you know, we're so busy with pushing children to learn this particular way that so many children get left behind. You know, so our whole thing is just to really help families navigate, you know, get out there and say, hey, you know, we're in ministry, you know, and people look at, you know, those that's in ministry as being, you know, not having to deal with family life issues. Look, we're a ministry, and we have had to deal with family life issues. And then, you know, this just helped us, you know, to understand and have a sensitivity to other families.
And that's, and it's so much that you just said in there, even to the point, I want to go back a little bit. Oftentimes, families or parents don't push to get their children tested because they're saying nothing's wrong with my child.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's not so much that something is wrong. Again, we say disability, but they just have different abilities. And so you have to learn how to maneuver and how to do things that will accommodate your child's abilities. But there tends to be a stigma.
Or a shame.
Yeah, put on children or put on parents if your child doesn't do things the way everybody else does.
Right.
If your child is not quote unquote normal. Exactly. No, what is normal?
What is that?
For real.
Living now ain't nothing normal no more.
So, but the thing is, but a lot of parents don't push for those tests, and they don't push to find out, and they believe that ignorance is bliss, but that actually does, it hurts the child because you're unable. Yeah, because you're unable to get the resources and the support and the things that you need in order to be strong in that situation. You don't have to be alone in dealing with your child's different abilities. Exactly. So I think it's so awesome, you know, Talitha, that you're like, nope, we're going to push.
I'm not selling
for what you say.
Give me more.
I need to know what's really going on with my child so I can be the best mom I can be for him.
And that's what it's about. Thank you. That's what it's about. That we just want to give our children the best opportunities, you know, give them that head start, everything that they need. Because the reality is, 1 in 5 children are born with some type of learning challenge. Mm. 1 in 5. Mm. Now our school systems are set up pretty much blanket the same way. Everybody has to learn, sit in a seat and listen to the teacher and just learn it auditorily or somewhat visually. But some children learn kinesthetically. Some children may have slow processing speed. So they need accommodations, you know? Mm. So it's not about, that your child is not intelligent or is incapable. They are capable. They just have a different learning style, a different way of gathering the information.
Yes.
So, yeah, we have to advocate. I think I've talked to so many parents. I don't want to say I necessarily call myself a counselor, but a lot of people do come to me, and I try to empower the parent to be the advocate.
Yes.
Because that's really what our biggest job is to be the advocate everywhere they go, and then teach our child how to walk in confidence and then advocate for themselves.
Absolutely. I want to say right now to everyone who's watching, share.
Yes.
Share. This is an important conversation.
Yes.
And I know that there's some parents out there that are going to need some of the encouragement, some of the tools, some of the resources, and they're going to need to connect. Listen, the way that we move through this life is through connecting with others that can help us through whatever kind of hurdle, whatever kind of situation, to help us to deal with things and to really be real with the situations and deal with them. So there are some parents out there. There are some people that you know that need to hear this conversation. Yeah. And I'm about to throw this out there. They need to know about Noah's Network.
Yes. It's all on the screen. Check it out. Pass it along. You are not alone.
Yes.
We can do this together.
Yes.
We can all do this together. We don't have to be sitting up, you know what I'm saying, up in the corner somewhere and trying to brush it up under the rug and trying to put it all or tuck it away. No, you need to bring it out. Let's put it on the table. Let's get it handled and move forward.
I'm so glad.
It's not about you. It's about the kid.
Exactly.
It's about the kid.
I'm so glad you said that, because that's where Noah's Network came from, because it came from a place where we were trying to find resources and, you know, didn't know where to go. Didn't really have people that I knew personally that could lead me in the right direction. So Noah's Network was birthed out of that place of frustration, of feeling isolated, alone. Feeling, you know, your whole world is rocked when you're told that your child is going down a different path than maybe what you expected.
Okay.
So that's where Noah's Network came from, wanting to create a community that is supportive of families as a whole, you know, to the point where, you know, well, where do I go? What's the best therapy places to go? What's the best speech therapy place to go to? You know, how do I navigate the school system? What about IEPs, educational plans? How do I navigate that? It's so much stuff that we as a community need to be empowered to learn in this arena.
And having to walk that path, you know, practically, you know, we've had, thank God, we've had a network of people that God did allow for us to be around that did not immediately start judging, but put themselves in the place to understand what was happening. And, you know, we have so many parents and so many people out here that need somebody to understand what's going on. And that alone could be a major frustration, because I don't, you know, we get to the place where who can understand, or what is it that I can have, or who can help me, who can talk me through this moment or through these things that I'm going through with my child. It's, you know, and then we, you know, we started talking about earlier when it comes to dealing with children with these different abilities. We talked about what's normal is not necessarily normal. How you go about doing different routines, how you did it with your other children, it's not necessarily going to work, you know, in every situation. And getting to dealing with people that we're, you know, some people just blatantly came and told us, we don't think y'all disciplining y'all child. Y'all need to whoop them. You know,
they told all of that.
You know, they did the Harpo, you know, purple, beat them, you know. You know what?
That's kind of like in the community where we are from, the culture.
Yes.
That's how we dealt with stuff. When we don't understand it, we go ahead and physically try to get it in line. Yes. And it doesn't work like that in a lot of aspects. So that happens amongst us.
Especially with autism, you know, there is a sensory processing. Mm-hmm. And I know what that is. That is sometimes the child with autism, anywhere in the spectrum, they can have challenges with noises being too loud or how things feel may bother them. And so they get irritated, or it could be a certain particular sound that bothers them. So I know for my son, we would go out when he was younger. We couldn't go into the grocery store or to a big store that had a lot of stuff. He would get overwhelmed so quickly. The lights, the people, the sounds, it would get too much. So he would totally have a meltdown and flip out. Mm. And I'll never forget, there was a gentleman that told me, you better get a handle on that boy before you can't control him. And I said, oh no, he's okay. He's okay. He's having a meltdown. He's on the autism spectrum. So I took a moment to try to educate him. But, you know, the looks, the stares, what's going on with them, because he's literally, you know, inconsolable in the moment. So you got to have this moment and then deal with it. But, you know, if we could educate more of the community, maybe people wouldn't be so quick to judge. Because that is the frustrating part, the challenging part sometimes when you have a child that is on the spectrum. So
That is so understandable, because we do live in a society that has a tendency to judge anything that doesn't look, move, or act exactly the way it does. Because we, as a society, we have been sort of programmed that anything that, first of all, we got to be right.
Right.
And anything that's not like me is wrong.
It's wrong.
Exactly.
So either you're like me and right, mm-hmm. or you're not like me and you're wrong. Yeah. And the truth of the matter is, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. No two people are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So if we can get to the point where we stop trying to put everybody in the same box.
Mm-hmm.
And see everyone right where they are, love them right where they are, accept them right where they are, and then see how we can benefit one another, you know, as we are, we're going to continue to have a lot of division. you know, period, especially in the body of Christ, because Noah has different abilities. But Noah, I'm telling you, that kid astonishes me. I'm always like, he's so cool. You know, he's like the coolest kid ever. And he loves my daughter, so he has wonderful taste.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
He's in love with your daughter.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he's your son-in-law. Right.
But even, you know, again, the way he just totally gravitates to the drums.
Yes.
And
musical.
Did that again?
Very musical.
Yes, yes. So, you know, so again, different abilities, because he can do things that other kids cannot.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I see that there's a question about what are some of the different signs of autism or some of the first signs.
Mm-hmm.
So we can... some of the signs of autism are repetitive behaviors, constant moving or hyper behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Fixation on certain activities or objects, specific routines or rituals. They get fixed on a certain routine or a certain ritual. And sensitivity to things like sound, light, touch. Those are some of the things that, those are some of the signs of autism. And with our son, he had a fixation on basketball. He's so fixated on basketball that one time he played basketball so much one day you could not pull him away that by the time he got tired, he couldn't walk anymore. So it was basically just that over fixation on certain things. I'm going to give you guys some statistics. In 2020, the CDC reported that approximately 1 in 54 children in the United States is diagnosed with on the autism spectrum disorder. 1 in 34 boys are identified to have autism. 1 in 144 girls are identified to have autism. It says the boys are 4 times more likely to be diagnosed with autism than girls. Most children are still being diagnosed after the age of 4. This is the main thing I want to hit on. Minority groups tend to be diagnosed later and less often. So in our community, we see that problem where, you know, minorities are diagnosed it's late when they get diagnosed. So the best method to, if you suspect it, early intervention is the best thing to do.
Yes.
Start asking questions early. If you suspect the problem, now I don't want y'all to go out there and say, I think that, you know, my son got an issue because he not listening to you. But you know, early intervention is extremely important. And again, I was the one that was saying, you know, trying to be a man about it. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that boy, let him be. But my wife, God kept pushing her. You know, I get out of God. God kept pushing her. Hey,
yeah.
get him checked, get it okay.
Yes, you know, he wasn't saying words, he wasn't saying mommy and daddy. He didn't talk in a complete sentence until he was almost 5 years old.
Right.
He had to have speech therapy. So we had him in speech therapy since he was
one or two,
you know, just learning how to form words. And so early intervention, I'm a huge advocate for, pusher of, please get your child evaluated, get them into speech therapy. Sometimes our community may have a lack of access to certain facilities but there are resources out there in our community, in Wayne County and many of the counties, but specifically in Detroit, there are resources that are dedicated, like the Michigan Alliance for Families. They are dedicated to, they're really good at assisting families with hooking up with resources, with speech therapy and ABA therapy. So in our community, we do have to be more diligent to pursue a diagnosis, because in our schools they're often looked over or just labeled as being a bad behavior child or a child that has bad behaviors.
Okay, so even as a community, I know, like we're saying that a lot of times in the schools it gets brushed over, or our kids are saying that, you know, what can we as a community or as a church do in order to support families with children with autism or different abilities?
First thing is pray for those families. That's number one. And pray even that God would help you have the proper sensitivity and unconditional love to be able to love that family and that child. Because the family often is struggling even with their own denial, their own biases, their own prejudgments of what this thing is now that's in their house.
What people are going to say
about us. What people are going to say, feeling embarrassed, feeling like, oh, is it my fault? Families, parents are dealing with all of those emotions. So when you come at them with that finger, like, what are you doing? You know, it scars a parent that's already struggling with why. Yes. You know, so as a community, as a church, just being a listening ear, just looking at that child and say, hey, you know, give them a hug if they'll allow you to, or just encourage them.
As far as giving them a hug, a lot of times if you do try to reach out and touch that child, sometimes they don't want you to touch them.
Sometimes they don't.
And it's okay. Yeah. Don't touch them.
Right.
All right. Let the child be and help and basically learn that child. That's all I want to say.
Yes. To sit back and observe and watch and learn and learn that.
And see, and I think that's very important. Again, let the children be free. Oftentimes, again, because we want to put everything in the box, we want our children to sit still, be quiet, don't move, don't this, don't that, not understanding that sometimes children, they need to move. Sometimes children, this is how they receive information. All children are different. But even within the churches, and again, I'm speaking from this, because this is just my pastor hat, we have to learn how to, again, be understanding, empathetic, long-suffering, patient, and kind, with one another. And, you know, again, just because a child wants to get up and walk, again, that child might be worshiping God in a different way. Let them, you know. I know, again, my son is not necessarily autistic, but Robert, he has to walk when he talks. He cannot be still.
Right.
Yeah.
And people are like, he needs you to stand. No, let him do what he needs to do. You know, he's effective that way.
Right.
So I think the one thing that we can do is allow the children to be free, allow them to be who they are, like you said, without judgment, without trying to put our understanding upon the situation.
Exactly.
You know, and then be willing to listen.
Yes.
When the parents say, listen, this is what I need to do for my child, they know their child.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly. You know, and so let's go to the church setting.
Let's go.
Uh-oh.
Let's go.
You know, I come from my background. You know, deliverance. You know, I go to deliverance church. We believe in, you know, casting out devils, and we believe in, praying and fasting through. Look, we can pray, we can fast it through. But like you said, we can't blanket. We cannot blanket the issue.
Yeah.
If there is an issue, sometimes. You know, it cannot be handled just in church.
Yes.
You know, you have to include God-placed doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists. God anointed them to be who they are.
Yes.
And, you know, and being a ministry again, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not a doctor.
Hallelujah.
You know, I can pray for the family. I can help the family. I can help the family the best I can. But the best thing I can do is give you the advice that you need and send you to where you need to go to get the help that you need. Yeah. And a lot of times we, as a church, we try to handle everything within our walls. You know, we try to take care of it all within our walls. And you don't have the education or the skills to do so.
Yes.
You know, so basically what you're doing is, you're causing further harm.
Right.
You know, so we have to allow the people that have these these abilities, as far as a doctor, psychologist, to help us diagnose these issues.
Yes.
So, again,
I like to say we got to sixfold ministry. We have to involve therapists, counselors, doctors. We need to be ordained in the church, letting them be able to have a part in it, because some things you just ain't gonna pray away. There's some things you just ain't gonna just try to cast out. It's just gonna be some things that somebody got to go see somebody else.
But the truth of the matter is, God uses whoever He wants to use.
Exactly.
He'll use that doctor, that therapist, whatever He needs or whoever He needs in order to bless you. But you have to be open. Like you said, let's come outside the wall sometime to get some assistance. There was a question that Victoria had. Were you ever advised to medicate? Were you ever advised to place your child on medication?
Well, in our case, because our son has actually multiple things going on as far as diagnosis, we were told it would be counterintuitive to put him on medication, but we're still pursuing that because he has some focus and inattention issues as well. But in relation to medication, as we're saying, there is a place, I believe, where if you believe that it is beneficial to your child and you're willing to try that, then, you know, by all means, I would say if that's the recommendation, to give it a try. I personally do prefer to seek every homeopathic or natural holistic remedy that's possible. So for us, we're looking at vitamins, we're looking at vitamin D, we're looking at omega-3
diet.
Yeah, gluten-free, omega-3 fatty acids, making sure he's getting that. You know, there are other things that you can do to try to spark that brain function, to keep that brain function going. But I would say, as far as medication, you know, go off the recommendation of your doctor and be okay with asking as many questions, because sometimes it can be a benefit and sometimes it can't. So,
and if you don't believe that doctor, get another doctor, get a second opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Because again, this is for the benefit of your child. Yeah. So if you
gotta
keep
a
asking questions,
quick. Like, I'll move on. Like,
yes, you will.
You're not helping me out. No, let me move on to the next one. Sorry, because I'm an educated parent. I know you can tell me your expertise, but, you know, I come in with a notebook with questions.
We have another question. How do parents stay on a united front together? Because sometimes relationships can struggle when you have a child with different ability, or you have a child that just doesn't sleep, or you have a child that, you know, is extremely clingy to a parent. Let's say that you can never get in the bed alone, or, you know, things of that nature. Yeah. So how can parents stay on a united front? Because sometimes, you know, children with disabilities can cause a strain on the marriage.
Yes.
Yes, children with disabilities can cause a strain on a marriage. And it did bring a strain to our house. But the thing is, we have to understand each other as a couple. Understand being willing to talk to each other about how we're feeling about what's going on. Be willing to doggone talk.
Yeah.
Communicate with each other.
Is number one.
Yes.
Because for me, especially when he was younger, mind you, I already have one child. Then I have him. I'm trying to figure out. He's not sleeping. He's meltdowns every day. He's just, it was overwhelming.
Yes.
And then I still had to be a wife. I still had to go to work. I still had to, you know, so it is a lot. It can be really even exhausting. But what was helpful was being able to communicate and be honest with my husband about how I'm feeling, or I really need a break today, or I really need, you know, just a couple of hours to get away. But, you know, sometimes us as moms and women, we put on our super.
Oh, yes.
Like, we got it handled. We're going to do it all. And I don't need any help. I got this. We're in mama bear, you know, mentality. And sometimes you have to be honest and just say, you know what? I need to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to be there. And, you know, his willingness to come around and see, like, okay, there is something that is here that is real. Because he was in denial.
I was the parent that was in denial.
He was in denial for a while.
I was a parent that was in denial. And after being in denial, you know, you go through those stages. After being in denial, you know, you come to deal with it. But then there was a part of me that was upset about it, you know? And sometimes when I get very upset about something, I get real quiet. I get real quiet, you know, but I get real quiet when I get real upset about something. And I was upset, you know, I was going to church upset. I had to preach upset. You know, I was worshiping upset. You know, I was going to work upset, you know, because how could this happen to us? You know, how could, you know, we've done everything that we thought that was possibly right. How could this happen to us? So those questions, then that being upset, I think a lot of parents deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you get stuck on just being mad, you know, you get stuck on being hurt, you know, all that stuff. You're just stuck there, and you gotta, you know, be able and have your support system. Find somebody that's going to listen to you, that's not going to tell all your business. Find somebody that's going to listen to you, that's going to try their best to understand where you're coming from, how you feel, and you establish a good support system and stick with that support system.
Yeah. And speak to each other and not away from each other. Because sometimes, you know, we want to point the blame to see, okay, whose fault is it? It's no one's fault. This is our child. This is our blessing. So we're going to attack this thing together. So just keeping that united front. And you have to make that choice daily. Like, I'm going to walk this out with my partner together.
So, I'm sorry.
We have a question.
We have another question It says, how do you deal with an adult with autism being in control of your children? She says, my children has an authority figure at school who's autistic. She goes, I don't know how to adapt.
So that's Asperger.
Right. That's very interesting. That most likely is a person that maybe has Asperger's or is high functioning. Mm-hmm. I would suggest trying to have a conversation with that individual and make sure expectations are clear. Because if they're in a teaching role or an authority role, they obviously have the capacity to do mm-hmm. their job. So just being clear, a lot of times people that are on the spectrum and they're in adulthood, things are black and white. Like, they need to be able to see things. So communicate with writing, communicate with visual, some type of visual communication for them, because a lot of times that'll help them be clear about what it is you're expecting or what it is that you need. But that is an interesting scenario.
Yeah, that's an interesting scenario.
That sort of leads me to another question I have, and this time has gone by really fast, you know. And we're gonna have to do another show. But I have this one quick question, because this, like, what just came up as far as people on the autistic spectrum are in society. They are operating, they are functioning, they are working, they're sometimes in the workforce and, you know, living life.
Yes.
So my question is, even as a parent, do you have concerns about when, you know, Noah gets older and how he's going to be received and how he's going to be able to function in this world, knowing how the world sometimes is?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Because the world ain't easy out there, mm-hmm. you know? So are we doing our best to try to prepare him even now? Like, he's in third grade now, and, mm-hmm. You know, he has some struggles. He has some learning struggles. And, you know, we're working on building up his esteem and his confidence and his ability to learn and his ability to process, because that's his biggest challenge right now. But, yeah, we do have major concerns about that. And I'm grateful that I've been able to find some resources that will help transition. I'm looking into that will help transition him into adulthood. But the main thing is building up a good esteem within your child, teaching them that they are enough, just how mm-hmm. God made them, teaching yes. them that, you know, that they are capable to do things, you know. So that's more so what I'm focusing on is his psyche, like his what he thinks yeah. about himself, so that he can't be so easily taken advantage of, because he knows his worth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. And just one other quick thing. When did you have, because I know, Jason, you were saying that you were angry, mm-hmm. that you were upset that your child was going to have to maneuver life with different abilities. Mm-hmm. So when did that ever shift for you? And when did it shift to where it's just like, okay, he has different abilities, but he's okay. He's good, you know?
Yes, it did. You know, you can, you know, despite the different abilities, there is still a unique personality that we all have.
Yes.
That God has given to my son Noah. Mm-hmm. One thing that just really assured me that he was going to be okay is the fact that he has a will. He's very, very strong will, and what he wants, he gets. Mm-hmm. And not saying that, you know, I spoil him, but he has one thing I've seen about him is that he has the gift of faith.
Amen.
Definitely has the gift of faith, and he will say, like right now, you know, he tells us that we're about to move to a faraway house with a swimming pool, a basketball court, and a bunch of bedrooms.
Oh, we're probably shot in.
Come on now.
You know, so he says it like he knows for a fact that this is going to happen. So, you know, I say, okay, I'm going to agree with your faith.
I'm diving in with him too.
Right. Another thing is, he loves music.
Mm-hmm.
He loves music so much that you know he's getting better and better on the drums. He can listen to music. I believe that he's starting to develop perfect pitch. Just at a young age, God is showing me these things about him and watching. That's another thing. Even if your child don't have autism, watch your children. Yes. See what interests them, and become interested in what they're interested in. Right. All right. And that's the important part of being a parent. They don't have to have autism for you to sit down and pay attention to them.
That's right.
Pay attention to your children, you know, because, you know, Noah has an older brother, and, you know, his older brother has been able to navigate his younger brother's different abilities.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jordan has come up with under the guise of Noah's Network, Sib Squad, a sibling support with siblings that have autism. You know, so developing a network of siblings that, you know, they want to talk to each other, like, because, you know, Jordan would love to have a brother or a sibling that can understand him, that he can, you know, talk to, you know, and out of that, what he wanted to do was come up with Sib Squad, where you know, these children that have brothers or sisters with different abilities can talk to each other, that support each other. So, you know, that's real important. I think I'll just start talking, but, you know, this is a really important subject that I think that our community really needs to pay attention to, you know.
Awesome. You know, the clock goes by so fast. Oh, my goodness, it goes by so fast. But we definitely want to have you guys on again. And again, tell our audience how to get in touch with Noah's Network, how to get some of the resources and even connect with you guys, just, you know, to be supported, even the Sib Squad. You got the Sib Squad? Is that what it's got? Sib Squad. And because I know that there are a lot of parents in our community that needs the support. And I have so many other questions, but we don't have time to get them. Just got to do it. But just tell us how to get in touch with Noah's Network and you guys, and we'll let it go with that.
Come on. Also, before... Tal did not say this. I thought you were gonna say it, but Tal is now a IEP coach.
Oh yeah, she's an IEP coach.
She's been trained in IEP coaching. So along with our information, if you just need some help, your child has an IEP, you just need some help navigating the IEP, you can reach out to us. Yeah. So go ahead.
And again, an IEP is your child's individual education plan. You can reach out to us at noahsnetwork12.org. That's our website. And our phone number is 586-900-7985. Reach out to us, give us a call. You know, if you just have some basic questions on how to, you know, make sure that your child has the services that you think that they need, Because sometimes, you know, what you think they need versus what the district is willing to give is two different things. And so you have to be able to, you know, get those needs met, and there's ways to do it. So we'd be happy to help you do that, talk to you about that. We also have Facebook. We're on Instagram, Noah's Network 1-2. And just check us out.
And please, 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 please stay. And please, you know, follow us, because we're going to be having some events where, you know, parents can bring, if you have children with disabilities or different abilities, you're going to use that. Children with different abilities, if you, you know, bring them out where they can just have sensory objects, you know, sensory fun, just the different things. And we'll be having fun with it. So please stay tuned to www.noahsnetwork12.org. And you can also stay tuned with us on our Facebook page at Noah's Network.
This has been so awesome. Like I said, we're going to have to do a part two, because I even want, I have some questions about even with older children, you know, that maybe we're not diagnosed young and things of that nature. It's just so much that I just want to have to do this again. And yeah, we're going to talk about that really quickly. If you do not, or if you have not gotten my book, Gracefully Losing My Religion, please. If you have not gotten the book, please get it. It's available on Amazon, or you can also reach out to me. There's a link in the comment section, but if you reach out to me, it's the only place you can get a hard copy, and I will sign it for you, and I believe it will really bless your life. This has been just absolutely awesome. We love you guys. And like I said, until next time, this has been the Page to Speak. I'm Stephanie Page, and
I'm Jonathan Lee Page.
Until next time. Oh, share this video. Share, because someone needs to see it.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us until next Thursday at 9 p.m. And next Thursday, we're going to talk about, has there been a shift?
All right.
All righty, until next time, take care.
God bless you.
Bye.